And what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Wind Up Podcast. I am your host, Mike of MTGA Wines. And this week, we're going to try and keep it a little bit more lighthearted. For those of you that have tuned in over the last couple of weeks and probably the last couple of months, it's been a little feisty. We've been talking about comments from the Surgeon General. We've been talking about how tough the grape market has been, how business has been. But it's a new year. It's a new us. Not really. It's the same us, but we're going to try and make a little bit of a pivot this week and talk about something a little bit different. Before we get too far into it, as usual, we have a couple of quick announcements before we get into the thick of things. First and foremost, as always, thank you all so much for continuing to follow, like, share, subscribe to the show. Please continue to do so. If you have a chance to leave a quick rating or review wherever you are consuming the podcast, that'll go a super long way in terms of helping with the algorithm and making it easier for people to find, whether that's one of the stars or like a little review about how great we are. That'd be super cool. That would be lovely. Be sure to follow us on all of our social networks. At MTGA Wines is the handle. We are most active on YouTube. The Book of Face, not so much the Book of Face, but typically we're on there every once in a while. The social network formerly known as Twitter and Instagram, for all of us that love to live vicariously through other folks seeing what the Happy Haps is in their normal everyday lives. But only the highlights, because that's what Instagram is good for. Number three, we're still brought to you by Premier Crew Clothing, our lovely, kitschy, fun-loving, wine-inspired apparel. We've got a few t-shirts that are up and available. You can use the code PREMIER during checkout. That's Premier Crew, C-R-U, clothing.com. You can head there, place your first order, and snag some cool, fun things. We're going to have some new designs coming out for the springtime as well, which, believe it or not, is just a couple of short months away, even though it is only mid-January. So don't want to scare anybody with that, but yeah, spring's right around the corner. Thank goodness. It's so nice that it's lighter out already. Again, that's Premier Crew, C-R-U, clothing.com. Use code PREMIER during checkout, and we'll get you all set there. Last, but certainly not least, we are starting to plan our wine events around the country. We have hit some of you up. I've got a laundry list of people that I'm still following up with. We are going to be all over the place. I think we're going to be back in Austin and San Antonio, Texas. We're going to be in Denver. We're going to be in Indianapolis. We're going to be in Columbus, and I think down to Nashville again. Also in New Braunfels, Texas, because I got to check the Schlitterbahn off my list of places to go, apparently. We're going to try and make it back out to the East Coast. In fact, the HBIC herself is in Miami right now and in Boca Raton in the next couple of days. We're going to be all over the place. If you're trying to schedule your own wine tasting and event around the country, please let us know. We'll see what we can do to try and make it happen. And if you're in any one of those locales, please head to our website, mtgawines.com. That's again, mtgawines.com. You can sign up for our newsletter, our wine club, find all kinds of fun information there about who we are and what we do. And it'll also keep in the loop about some of our upcoming events around the country. Speaking of which, newsletters, wine clubs, and all that good stuff, we have our next wine release coming out at the end of this month. In just about a week and a half, we're going to be sending out our release notice for everybody. So if you're already in our wine club or on our mailing list, you'll be receiving that here shortly. Again, just please keep an eye out on your email inbox. That way you can update your account. We can customize that to your liking, all of that good stuff. And we can get you those wines in early February. Super excited for the next round of wines we're releasing. It's going to be all kinds of good stuff. I hope you will join us for that. Please be 21 years or older to attend our events or be in our wine club, because that's the law, y'all. That's how it is. Always got to put that lovely disclaimer down there at the end. Okay, so that's the end of the announcements portion. So those of you, number one, before we get into like today's episode, I do want to address last week, kind of the beginning of the end, the Surgeon General's comments, kind of my, you know, thoughts and argument against what he had to say. And a few of you reached out and be like, hey, Mike, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. I love you guys. Thank you so much for helping talk me off the ledge. It's always great to have that kind of support. And, you know, all things considered, yes, I was a little distraught, probably a little bit more dramatic than I needed to be last week. But here's the deal, you know, is that that kind of stuff affects us in a major way in this industry. And I try not to be too clickbaity about this kind of stuff. You know, it's something that is going to, frankly, directly affect our bottom line, which very selfishly, with the roof that's over my head right now and the coffee that I'm sipping on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon today, you know, that's a thing. And it's something that we have to be mindful of. I'm also a proponent of trying to get ahead of the curve here. You know, don't wait until a problem is at your front door to address it. If you see something on the horizon, it's probably better to say something or do something and start a conversation, right? Because that way you're at least prepared to address it at the very least. And maybe at an extreme, you have a plan that you can enact to move forward. Am I truly worried about the overall state of the wine industry and the potential decline of alcohol as a consumer beverage as it pertains to wine? Sure, I'm a little worried about it, especially based on the last, you know, year, maybe even year and a half of where this industry has been heading. Did we still have a really solid finish to 2024? Yeah, we're off to a pretty good start this year in terms of what we have planned of events, people coming out to the winery, like all kinds of good stuff. There's a lot of positives that we really should be focusing on rather than the negatives. But when a very public government official comes out and says something very dramatic, and echoes something that, you know, the WHO said a couple years ago, it needs to be addressed. I mean, it wasn't until yesterday or even the day before that someone like Karen McNeil, you know, who is the author of the Wine Bible, came out and voiced her thoughts on what the Surgeon General had to say. So, you know, is it nice to be one of the first people kind of talking about this? Yeah, it kind of is. Because it's something, it's a conversation we should be having. You know, this is something that I've been, you know, harping on for almost the 2 years that we've been doing this show, is transparency and openness and trying to have an open dialogue with people about the world of wine, hospitality, and how it integrates into your day-to-day life. Can I be a little dramatic? Sure. That's largely because this is meant to be, you know, educational, but also for entertainment purposes. So I do really appreciate you all reaching out, saying, hey, checking in on me, making sure that I'm doing all right. I promise you, things are good. Stressful, for sure, as it normally can be when we enter kind of a rocky phase of this industry. But that's like any job. You know, you're going to have your moments where it's a little bit more rough around the edges. You know, it's not always going to be easy. It's not always going to be peas and carrots, as Forrest Gump would love to say, go together like peas and carrots. So, you know, we got to get through this. And it's going to take more than just us in the industry. It's going to take a lot of you as consumers to also jump in, weigh in, and frankly, voice your opinion. And believe me, the wine industry will do our best to hear what you have to say. And that's my honest to goodness belief, because I still believe, and you're going to be hard pressed to convince me otherwise, that wine is a beautiful part of everyday life and it is here for your enjoyment. And whether or not you decide to indulge in that enjoyment is 100% up to you. And these statements made by the Surgeon General will be a factor for some people. In fact, we've already had a good swath of club members cancel because they're trying to look out for their health over the last week since those statements were made and since we released that show. It is the way it is. It is already affecting our bottom line. So we're going to talk about it. We're going to continue to talk about it. Am I going to sound like I'm going off the deep end from time to time? Probably. For that, I apologize. But this is stuff that was really meant to be a part of this show. And we're going to continue to try and address a lot of this stuff, because it's not just affecting us, it's affecting our industry and many of our lives and livelihood as a whole. whether you're someone out here in Napa like us, whether you're in Oregon, Washington, Texas, Europe, it doesn't matter. Whether you're just a wine drinker that enjoys a glass of wine every once in a while, this is stuff that is going to impact us in some way, shape, or form. And it's better to start these conversations early to get ahead of the curve rather than play defense on your heels the whole time. Just ask the Minnesota Vikings, you know, from Monday Night Football. They'll tell you all about that. Go Rams. Anyway, that's all I have to say about that. We're going to talk about that in more detail, but today we're going to shift to a more positive note because this is this beautiful time of year for us in our industry where harvest is over, winter is here, we're finally shaking off a little bit of the hibernation, we're, you know, getting the sleepies out of our eyes and we're getting back into the world. And I got to tell, I mean, it's really funny. You can almost bank on it every year that when the second week of January comes around into the third week of January, all of a sudden it's like people in the industry have woken back up again. It's kind of hilarious because for a very solid 2 months, 2.5 months, everyone is just hunkered down. It's very mellow. It's nose to the grindstone. We don't have time for no nonsense. And it's tough. And quite frankly, as soon as we get into February, March, April, things ramp right back up. There is, in essence, about a two-month window where if we have a chance to kind of take a breath and relax, that's our only window. It's not like it comes sporadically throughout the year. There might be a time during the summer, early summer, where we can take a little time off. But even then, we kind of hunker back down and shelter ourselves because we know that the madness of bottling and harvest and all this other stuff is coming right down the pipeline. So there are very few times throughout a year where winemakers, cellar folks, vineyard managers, all this kind of stuff can take a deep breath and just relax. And that is one of the beautiful moments that we're at right now. And that's what I want to get into today. And I brought a little bit of homework with me. For those of you that are watching on YouTube, again, that's our YouTube channel, MTGA Wine, at MTGA Wines. What you'll see here is a lovely spreadsheet that I'm kind of holding up to the camera. And it's a barrel tasting that we did today over at Pine Ridge Vineyards, owned by Crimson Wine Group. This is something that they've been doing for 10 years now. This was the first time I've actually ever been invited to it. I actually didn't even know it existed until I randomly got an email and was like, hey, we're doing this barrel trial tasting and we're going to hang out, provide a bunch of barrel samples, and we're just going to go through them and see what you think. There's not going to be any salespeople there. There's not going to be any barrel reps there. It's just going to be 120 winemakers tasting wine, talking shit, talking shop, and getting after it. And what was beautiful about this tasting is, number one, I'm literally recording this about 2 hours after I got home from this tasting. So, you know, I'm a little buzzed. Feels great. I've got another cup of coffee in my hand because I just got to keep the day going. I got work to do after this, as a matter of fact. So we're trying to get back into gear here. But it's incredibly rare that we as winemakers get to, number one, get together in that format. But more importantly, when it comes to how we operate within our wine programs and when we're considering what barrels to use, what barrels not to use, it's incredibly rare that you can taste the same wine across 30 different barrels and evaluate what you like, what you don't like, what might be a great blending barrel, what might be a great standalone, and really have a true, I mean, as like an objective, like just view on what all of these barrels do. Now, I have this entire tasting sheet. It's quite literally 30 different wines that we tried in terms of barrel samples today. On the other sheet, kind of behind it, lists every single barrel, the specific cooperage, the toasting level, where it came from, how it was made. I mean, all of the details. So, and the best part about this, and I mentioned this just a few seconds ago, is that There weren't any barrel reps there. There weren't any salespeople. It's not like anyone put this together for us to try and sell us what barrels they have available. This is just a bunch of winemakers getting together to evaluate kind of where we like these barrels and what we feel, what we taste, and how they could potentially integrate into our own programs. Now, this is where, you know, as much, you know, shit as I love to talk about some of the big producers and the kind of quantity versus quality argument that I make on the show all the time, this is where big producers walk so that small producers can run. Because if I'm going to set aside 30 barrels for a barrel trial, that means I'm sacrificing most of an entire vintage, right? Where someone who's big enough and has enough of a single wine to put into all these barrels and say, like, hey, let's see how these shake out. It takes a certain volume of wine. For those of you that are keeping track, you're talking about 30 different barrels times 60 gallons, right? So you're talking about a huge volume of wine just to do barrel trials and see how things shake out. Now, I have no doubt that a company like Pine Ridge is going to be able to integrate these 30 barrels like in some way, shape, or form across their wine program because they're large enough to be able to do something like that. But this is not something that the typical small producer is able to do. And on top of that, there's very few large producers that would even consider doing something like this for just industry colleagues and friends or whatever. Keep in mind, like I said, this was the 10th year of doing it. I haven't even heard about it until this year. And all of a sudden, not only was I invited, but I was able to attend and actually taste through all 30 barrels and see what there was to see. You know, you have a lot of friends, you have a lot of colleagues and acquaintances, or a lot of people you don't know. It's a great vibe. And you just get to sit there and evaluate things very, very honestly without being pitched, you know, any sales or anything like that. I also, you know, this is also the biggest thing. I mean, arguably the most important thing is I got to show off my new Patagonia vest that I'm wearing, you know, which makes me officially a real winemaker. I don't know if you know this, but you're not technically a real winemaker until you have a Patagonia vest. And my grandfather, luckily enough, on my mom's side, thank you, Grandpa John, was able to buy me one of these for Christmas this year, which means I'm officially a real winemaker. You got to have the Patagucci. It's where it is. If you don't have one, you're not technically a winemaker yet. You're still an apprentice. Now, 15 years in, I'm officially a winemaker. It's kind of nice. Kind of nice. All kidding aside, this is the kind of stuff, when I talk about the industry and how we operate in terms of like a rising tide raises all ships, this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about. This is the kind of positive reinforcement and excitement that really can help this industry thrive. And this event goes to show that whether you're a big producer, small producer, medium, whatever it is, it benefits everybody to just come together, have a good day tasting wine. I'm actually going to have to email them and be like, who the hell catered your lunch? They provided lunch. It was quite literally the best Mexican food I've had in Napa, period, full stop. It was outstanding. The best. Oh, it was so good. So I'm so incredibly full right now. And it's been 2.5 hours since I had lunch there. It just was so good. But it's an amazing moment. And this is the kind of insider stuff that I wish we could show all of you. There was some of you know this, maybe many of you don't, is that one of my guilty pleasures. Some of you who have seen our Cab Franc label, it's always kind of that classic video game inspired label. This year we've got, at the end of the month, we'll be releasing kind of the Galaga version of it. And still to this day, gaming is still kind of like my catharsis. It's kind of my getaway. And I stream on Twitch even from time to time. I have a few buddies that I chat with. It's nothing big. It's more of just like this hobby kind of fun thing. And there was someone that I've been talking with and just hanging out with over the last, probably 4 or 5 years now. who was like, you know, it'd be really interesting, like verbatim was like, it'd be really interesting if you could actually live stream your winemaking and show us like what goes on day to day in the cellar. And part of me was like, absolutely, hell yes, that would be so cool. But the logistics of doing so are a complete nightmare between internet connectivity. How do we actually, like, where do we position cameras, microphones, the, like, it's a thing. Like, it would be a whole production. And I'm on board with it, but live stream might be a stretch. Like, maybe it's something that where you would, like, record and then post later, you know, something like that. Like, more like podcast kind of stuff with, like, highlights and video and stuff like that. But to his point, he's like, this is, he's, and this is someone that's not even a wine drinker per se. He's just, he actually, you know, he's tried making his own mead like a couple of times. So he knows like fermentation and like the process and, you know, anecdotally, basically, but was genuinely curious. And I think many of you, you know, if you're into wine and listen to the show, you're probably genuinely curious about just the world of wine in general, including all kind of the geeky nitty gritty details that go into it. And just based on, you know, how involved you've been and, you know, how often you consume wine or ask some of these questions or interact, you know, with folks in the industry, you might be a little further along that line or less. You don't have to be, as we all know, you don't have to be a master somm to appreciate wine. You just have to know what you like. And then there are varying degrees, right? Of course, for everything in there. But this is the kind of event and the kind of moment where it's like, God damn it, I wish we could show you like what this was. And not only can we show you just the scene of 120 people kind of crammed into an artery of a cave with 30 samples, there are four tables. Each table had samples that were just through the letters of the alphabet and went from A to Z. And then we had like AA, AB, AC, and then like the neutral one, which was like the neutral was the control. Like, here's this wine just in a neutral barrel on its own, no new oak, right? And if you just watch like the world go by, but on top of that, have like the man on the street kind of quiz type thing of like, hey, like what's just like go from table to table, person to person, and be like, hey, what's tasting really good right now? Like, where are you at in the tasting? How are you feeling? What is this? You know, and just like kind of push it to a certain degree to kind of create that next level of content for y'all. Like, that would be so cool. I might not be the one to execute it, so if any of you want to move out to Napa and have a go, I mean, please, by all means. I know how to do it. I can see it in my head. I really can, which is a problem because this is how I get like knee deep in like a new project. Is like, oh, this would be so cool if only we could make this happen. And I know you could. And you would also have to like let people know, like, hey, by the way, like we're gonna be doing this kind of thing. We would love you to be a part of it. If you don't want to, like, here's a sticker or a name badge you can put on your vest. And if it's red, we just won't talk to you. If it's green, you can expect a microphone to be in your face in some way, shape, or form. But this is, it's just to sit there and talk with people that you've never met before, some, you know, old friends and colleagues, and just talk shop. Like, it's so honest. It's so authentic. All of us are, it was pretty funny. I mean, all of us were still very much in that, like, holy shit, like, I haven't seen you in months. I haven't seen you since last summer. You know, maybe I saw you over the holidays, like going out for a drink with the family or something like that. But man, like, it's just, this is the one time that we have like a little bit of free time, almost collectively as an entire group, that we can like get away and do things. And it just so happened that 120 of us could make it on this specific day to do this tasting and hang out. Try some cool wines, eat some good food, and like just hang out and talk shop. This is the kind of like truly authentic, amazing things that this industry has to offer that I wish we could actually show you. And I hate the fact that you kind of have to take our word for it, because this is what keeps this industry going. Like, at its core, if people didn't like this industry and didn't like what they do, wine wouldn't be made. It is an absolute shit show to be in the wine industry, to run a wine business, to try and sell your wine, to try and put wine in front of people or distributors and make the world go round and actually make a living at this. It is outrageously difficult. I cannot stress that enough. But when you have events like this that bring all of those crazy individuals like us together so we can commiserate and just talk shop like this, you feel lighter. You feel happier. You feel excited. It's an amazing thing. And I'm hoping that some of this is somewhat like palpable for you as you listen to the show today, because these are those high points in winemaking and in hospitality and in the industry that keep us going. And some of this also, of course, incorporates you all when we're doing events, you know, out on the road, when we get to see you kind of in your own, you know, neck of the woods, when you come out to the valley and we get to catch up and hang out and talk shop. And these are the amazing conversations and relationships that we get to build that frankly convince us that what we're doing is worth it. Period. This industry sucks a lot of the time. It really can. But the beauty that we find through the struggles we go through to make these wine projects happen and to make these bottles end up on your kitchen table at some point in the future, that's what keeps us going. This was an amazing experience. And man, there were some good barrels in here. Let's talk about the barrels for a hot second. Number one, I'm very happy. The first barrel that was on this list, the Gamba G7 barrel, I don't even know if you can read this if you're watching the video, but the Gamba G7 barrel that was literally the first wine on the list, for those of you that have had our single barrel Merlot, that's the barrel we use. It's quite literally one of my favorite barrels in the world. In fact, the third barrel on the list, the Sylvain Grand Reserve, also right there. There were a couple of barrels on this that I was like, man, I've always been a big fan of those. We don't use them currently, but man, they're just good. There are a couple of new ones on the list as well that were really, really solid. By the way, my French is terrible, so I'm going to butcher some of these names as we talk about it. But the Quinaissance, the Fleur de Quinaissance, always very, very solid. We had the Truil Expression. I was very surprised by that, actually. The Tonnelleria, oh my God, I completely butchered that. Tonnelleria Nationale Fontainebleau, very, very good. The Zenith barrel, very solid. Some Center of France barrels, the Radu, I wasn't a huge fan of. Hermitage, not necessarily a huge fan of. What's funny is like the Sylvain Grand Reserve barrel was clicking on all cylinders today, but like their normal reserve barrel, not my favorite. Like just, it doesn't click for me for some reason. Let's see, what were the ones that I didn't like? Lagrange, I've heard like great things about those barrels and they just didn't click today. Like no hate, no harm, no foul. It just was like edgy. It seemed like, it's funny that it was French oak, but it really tasted like green and kind of edgy and vanilla-y. I really thought it was American oak off the top of my head. It just was very, very surprising. Where was the Taranceau barrel actually? Oh, the Taranceau I wasn't a huge fan of. That's actually kind of surprising. What did I not like about that? Da-da-da-da. Oh, that's right. This was like the really jammy lot. For some reason, this wine was like super jammy and rich. It was very like Zinfandel-esque coming out of that barrel. The acid was fine, but it was just like, ugh. It was too jammy for me. What else did we really like? There was this Epicure Fine Extra Fine blend from the Medoc. Like that was a barrel that I was like, I don't really know, like really good potential, but shoot, I don't really know where I'd put that or how we would use it. It's definitely like a component, but maybe not a standalone kind of like single barrel kind of thing. Let's see what else was on here. We talked about Gamba Truil. We talked about Quinaissance. I think that pretty much covers the highlights for what we kind of liked and didn't like. I mean, the beautiful thing about this tasting and going through 30 different brand new barrels over the course of like an hour and a half was that we found that there were a lot of barrels that were like fine. Like these are good. We could certainly use this barrel, but you could almost like plug and play anything. There were a lot of barrels that were like Swiss Army knives, which was actually kind of cool because it was, you know, if you're switching vineyards or you're not really sure which direction you want to go, there were a lot of barrels that were, frankly, very, very similar and kind of accentuated the same things. And you're like, I could throw any one of these barrels into my production and they're not going to shake. They're not going to rock the boat. They're going to be very even keeled, very easy going. There were a handful of barrels that I mentioned, like some of them that I didn't like that just like stood out because they were too edgy. They accentuated the tannin too much or the jamminess too much. And they just, you're like, this is potentially a good component, but even then, like, it just kind of goes really hard in a direction. And I don't see how that necessarily for like us incorporates into a grander blend. And then there, the really great barrels that I highlighted that I really loved, those were the barrels that were like, okay, I taste the oak. I understand the influence it's having on the wine, but it's not a dominating thing. It's this really nice component that adds to the wine. It doesn't take away from the wine. It's a great balancing act. And that's, you know, for me, that's what I look for in a great barrel is I want to, you know, taste the fruit characteristics. I want to taste the grapes. I want to understand those fruit characteristics that it naturally brings to the table. I also want the oak to be there. I don't want it to be completely devoid necessarily. I still want there to be this nice kind of toasty characteristic, but I don't want it to hit me over the head like a 2x4. You know what I mean? I should let you know what wine we were tasting. This was a 2023 Cabernet Sauvignon, so it's been in those barrels for about a year and a half, give or take. The pH was 3.95, so maybe a touch on the higher side, but that makes sense. The TA was 5.5 grams per liter for all you nerds out there. And then the alcohol was 15.5%. So a little bit more high octane, I would say, although probably 15 is about the Napa average this day and age, honestly, for better or for worse. What was beautiful about that wine that even at like 15.5%, it didn't feel too hot. It was very much in balance. It was a great even keeled Cabernet Sauvignon. It didn't say what appellation though. I think it was just Napa Valley. I'm assuming it's just a Napa Valley kind of like blend of theirs. I did not ask that if it was like a specific lot. It does just say Napa Valley on there. So for all things considered, when we tasted like the neutral lot that hadn't been in new oak, it was very even keeled, solid, didn't seem too hot, well balanced. And all of these barrels either accentuated it one way, the other, or and the vast majority of them kind of fell right in the middle. So I think this is, it's a great example of, I think, what winemakers look for in winemaking. What many of, actually, this is some of the conversation we had at lunch, was there are plenty of barrels that we use that we just want them to be a nice, subtle influence. We're not looking for it to be too flashy. We're not looking for this wine to, you know, knock your socks off necessarily. We want it to be really good. We want you to love it, but we don't need it to come out swinging. You know, we just want it to be solid. You know, I always equate it, I use this analogy a lot, is that there are certain barrels that I want them to be, in essence, like the diesel engine. Like, just take care of it, keep up on the maintenance, and it's going to run forever. That's what we want from some of our barrels. We just want it to be solid and reliable. That's what we want from a lot of our barrels. Now, the extremes, obviously, on either end, you want the upside, where it's like you have these barrels that just, for whatever reason, from the vineyard you're sourcing from, with the variety you're working with, they are just beautiful. They just hit on all cylinders. That's your high octane, you know, Formula One like vehicle. Like we're just trying to make the best of the best with honors, sir, you know? And then you have the outliers, which are like, you know what, maybe this barrel's a little too structured one way or the other. Maybe it accentuates a certain characteristic that maybe we're not even necessarily a huge fan of, but that could still be a great component when it comes to blending. It'll never be a standalone. You're never going to bottle that barrel on its own. But if it makes a really big, tannic, intense wine, you have this fairly fruity, easygoing red, and you need more structure, that barrel can still be a great component. I mentioned the jammy barrel that I wasn't a huge fan of. Maybe you have a lot of red wine that's like typically this is, you know, a little flabby, a little thin, a little, there's not enough there, and you need some of that jamminess to kind of, you know, accentuate the fruit characteristics. So even for barrels that you don't necessarily like on your own in an exercise like this, they still might have this really cool, you know, effect on your overall winemaking and blending process. So you can't necessarily taste through 30 barrels like this and say like, oh, these are the barrels we're using, these are the barrels we're not, because I like this one, I don't like this one. Because even that barrel that's not great on its own still might be an amazing component to a greater blend, which is a crazy thing to think about. But that is definitely how I approach our barrel program. There are certain barrels that I know full well, they're fine on their own, they're not that awesome. But when I blend that barrel with the rest of our lot, using Cabernet as an example, it's amazing. It's a beautiful component, right? And I think we could say the same thing for, I mean, so many. I'd look at it like any, like anything on your spice rack. If you're going to eat salt by itself, you're like, oh, great, it's salty. Like, that's the way you have to look at barrels. Like, they can be a little one-dimensional sometimes. But if you add salt to a great steak that you're cooking in a cast iron with a little bit of butter and rosemary and garlic, all of a sudden that salt helps accentuate a lot of things. So it can be greater than the sum of its parts, right? So that's really the way you have to look at a lot of these barrels, and kind of a lot of even some of the opinions I had about where some of these barrels were, what I tasted, what I liked, what I didn't like, is that even if you love them, it still might not be great for your program. And even if you hate it, it still could factor in some way that's hugely beneficial to what you're trying to achieve with your wine program. The barrel selections, for lack of a better turn of phrase, it's kind of a mind fuck, because you're not really sure, because like we mentioned at the top, it's so rare that we as winemakers get to taste the same wine across many, many, many different barrels and cooperages. This is an incredibly unique experience and event that simply doesn't happen, as far as I know, in the industry. Especially when, you know, with no cooperages there that are trying to upsell you on their barrels, which I love my barrel reps. Y'all are amazing. However, it's nice to have just talk shop with winemakers and, you know, figure out which way is up from there. This is the kind of stuff that I think many of us in the industry, this is the kind of stuff that we live for. You know, we love hanging out with you all. We love slinging wine, late nights, barbecuing, doing dinners at country clubs, you know, having you out to our caves or our tasting rooms and talking shop and carrying on and just having good times. You know, you combine that with moments like this, that is what makes our world go round. It really, really does. It's incredibly important. This, frankly, could not have come at a better point. Given the very rough start that we've apparently decided to have this year between fire seasons in California, between Surgeon General, between, you know, all kinds of other stuff, you know, whatever, pick your poison, right? But this is the kind of stuff where you get to kind of take a step back, relax, and just enjoy what you do for what it is, and not have to think too hard about it, other than the kind of creative, artistic aspect that you have in your own head as a winemaker and where you want your program to go. You get to kind of zero in on that and why you do what you do and the love you have for the game that is winemaking. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And damn it, we're going to find some sort of way. I promise you, in some way, shape, or form, we're going to find a way to hopefully bring many of you with us on this journey in some way, shape, or form, you know, whether that's, you know, live streaming cellar work or harvest work, just having more conversations like this on podcasts and things of that nature. I think this is the kind of stuff that's going to go a very long way. And shoot, I'm here for it. And we're going to try our damnedest to keep you in the loop and, you know, take you on this journey, like I said, with us as we continue to make these amazing wines that we hope you all enjoy. Oh, what a beautiful day. Could not ask for a better, you know, in essence, start to the week. This happened on a Tuesday, so it's starting the week. We're rolling right into hump day with a lot of momentum. Wednesday is going to be fantastic. So if you're listening to this on Wednesday when we normally release the show, that'll be January 15th. Holy smokes, cloud nine right now. Can't even tell you. It's the most bestest thing. That made all of the sense in the world. With that, thank you all so much for tuning in. This is the kind of stuff that it's great to have these kind of juicy rebounds to go off of. And after what has been, what feels like a lot of doom and gloom in the industry and a lot of tough conversations here on the show and with colleagues and everything, this is the kind of stuff where we get to, I think, gain a little bit more perspective, which is really, really nice. So I hope that diving into, you know, today's tasting that we had, or I should say the tasting we had on the 14th with all these barrels and kind of the vibe, what we garner from barrel tastings like this and how we incorporate this kind of knowledge into our day-to-day winemaking prowess. I hope this brings you into that world a little bit more. Have an excellent rest of your week. Again, be sure to follow us on all of our social networks. It's at MTGA Wines. YouTube and Instagram are the most prevalent, but you can always check us out on the Book of Face and the social network formerly known as Twitter. Head to Premier Crew, that's CRUclothing.com. Use code Premier to score 20% off a fresh t-shirt for the fresh new year. If you are on our mailing list in our wine club, please keep an eye out on the newsletters we're going to be sending out this month and next month regarding new releases, events, all that kind of stuff. If you would like more information on us, MTGA Wines, what we do, who we are, you can head to mtgawines.com. You can also go to the homepage there, scroll down a little bit. There's a little email form. If you want to submit a question for our monthly Q&A episode, that is going to be coming up on January 29th. We'll try to answer as many of your questions as possible. Typically, we can get through about four or five of them, and we source all those from the community here, the tasting room in the cave, all kinds of good stuff. So we'll try and dive into whatever you would like more information on, whether it's wine, hospitality, Napa specifically, or just the wine business in general. We'll dive into that. Thank you all so much for subscribing, rating, reviewing the show. Please continue to download it, share with all your friends, and we will catch you next time on the Wind Up Podcast. Cheers.